Welcome back to the Deep Dive. We're the show that really tries to cut through the noise, get into the research, and pull out the insights you need to get genuinely informed fast.
That's the goal.
And today we are plunging really headfirst into a critical part of the global infrastructure puzzle, but it's one you probably don't see very often.
Definitely operates behind the scenes.
Think about this just for a second. Every single year, humanity, all of us, we generate over 2 billion tons of municipal solid waste.
It's a staggering number. Hard to even visualize.
It really is mind-boggling. And here's the kicker. That figure, it's projected to skyrocket. We're talking maybe 70% higher by 2050.
Wow, 70%.
So we're facing this unprecedented challenge, really, in how we manage all this waste sustainably. How do we turn it from just a burden into, a resource?
It's a colossal problem, isn't it? And the impacts, they just ripple out everywhere. Public health, energy security, obviously our climate goals. And, traditional waste management, it just can't keep up. Not with the sheer volume, the complexity. This isn't just about bigger landfills anymore.
No, it can't do.
It's about finding really pioneering solutions, ways to transform what we used to just call waste into actual valuable assets, driving that circular economy idea.
And that's exactly why our mission today is to take a really deep dive into Cambi ASA.
Cambi, right.
They're a Norway-based company, and they seem to be right at the forefront of this challenge, offering these very specialized solutions in the clean tech infrastructure sector.
A really interesting niche.
So we're going to try and unpack their unique technology, dissect their business model, understand their market position, which seems quite powerful, and then sort of pull back the curtain on their financial landscape.
Uh-huh.
And we're doing all this by drawing insights from a recent investment analysis we've looked at.
And what's really fascinating about Cambi, I think, is this kind of inherent tension you see right at its core.
Okay, tell me about that.
Well, on one hand, you've clearly got a global market leader. They've got this powerful patented technology, and it aligns, perfectly with these huge global trends, decarbonization, circular economy, all of that.
Right. Sounds great on paper.
But then on the other side, and this is really the crux of it, especially if you're thinking about investment world, they operate with what people call a lumpy business model.
Mm.
It's project-based.
Okay. Lumpy meaning unpredictable.
Exactly. It creates considerable financial volatility from year to year. And that sets up this really compelling sort of bullish versus bearish narrative that I think we'll probably explore quite a bit today.
That sets the stage perfectly. Okay, so let's unpack this. For listeners who might be hearing about Cambi for the very first time, Who exactly are they?
Right, so Cambi ASA, they're based in Norway, as you said, a global tech and solutions provider.
Yeah.
And they were founded way back in 1992.
Oh, wow, so they've been around a while.
Yeah, over three decades.
Yeah.
So they bring a lot of focused innovation, a lot of experience to this. Their specialization is, it's pretty precise. Sustainable management of biosolids and other organic waste.
Biosolids. So we're talking sewage sludge, basically.
Essentially, yeah. And other similar organic stuff. It's that critical, often kind of invisible infrastructure that, keeps our cities running and clean.
Hmm.
This isn't flashy consumer clean tech.
No, definitely not.
This is the foundational tech that actually makes sustainable cities possible.
Right. So they're operating deep down in the infrastructure, literally, like you said, in the weeds of waste management.
Mm-hmm.
And the heart of their innovation, this proprietary technology they've developed, it's called thermal hydrolysis process, THP.
That's the one, THP.
Can you break that down for us? What is it and why is it supposed to be such a game changer?
Yeah, the elegance of it, their core tech, THP, mm-hmm. is actually pretty remarkable when you get into it. In simple terms, think of it as an advanced pre-treatment process.
Okay, pre-treat.
So imagine the sewage sludge or other organic wastes coming out of a city's wastewater treatment plant.
Mm.
Normally, that stuff goes into what's called an anaerobic digester.
Right, like a big tank where microbes break it down.
Exactly, where microorganisms munch away and produce biogas. But before it gets to that digester, Cambi's THP steps in.
Mm-hmm.
It uses really high pressure and high temperature.
Yep.
Think of it like a giant industrial pressure cooker, but for sludge.
Right. Got it. A pressure cooker.
And this extreme environment, it effectively breaks down the cellular structures within that waste material. So this pre-treatment step, it just dramatically improves the efficiency of everything that happens after it. Makes the downstream processes work way better.
So it's like supercharging the input. Making it easier to digest.
That's a great way to put it, supercharging it. And the tangible benefits for, say, a large municipal water utility or a public authority that decides to install THP, Well, they're really clear. The value proposition is strong.
Okay, so what are those benefits? What does it actually do for them?
Well, first off, THP can increase the yield of renewable biogas, that valuable gas they capture, by up to 50%. 50%.
Wow, okay. That's a huge jump.
It's a massive shift. You got these wastewater treatment plants, right? Usually, they're huge energy consumers.
Well, yeah, they use a ton of power.
But with THP, they can actually transform into net energy producers. They make more energy than they use.
Seriously, that changes the whole economic picture.
Totally. It cuts their operational costs, obviously.
Yeah.
But it also significantly improves energy independence and, you know, the overall sustainability picture for a city.
Turning a cost center into an energy source, that's really significant. A whole different way of thinking about waste infrastructure.
Exactly. So that's benefit one. Benefit two, it drastically reduces the final volume of the biosolids themselves.
The leftover solid stuff.
Yeah, the solid residue that remains after the treatment reduces it by up to 50%.
Again, 50%.
Yeah, these are big numbers. And that translates directly into really substantial savings on disposal and transportation costs.
Which must be a huge chunk of their budget.
Oh, absolutely. Usually among the largest operational expenses for municipalities. So imagine just cutting your waste hauling bill in half.
Okay, that's compelling. What else?
Thirdly, it enhances the capacity of their existing digesters, those big tanks we mentioned.
Right.
Without needing costly new construction, without expanding their physical footprint, a facility can suddenly process up to 3 times more waste.
3 times? Just by adding this pretreatment?
Just by adding THP up front. Right. So think about rapidly growing cities or plants that are already maxed out.
Mm-hmm.
This is an invaluable way to extend the life and the utility of the infrastructure they already have.
That's incredibly efficient use of existing assets. Avoids massive capital expenditure on new tanks.
Mm-hmm.
But there's another benefit too, right? Something about safety and the environment, dealing with the nasty stuff in the sludge.
Absolutely. And this is arguably one of the most vital benefits, especially from a public health perspective. It's comprehensive pathogen destruction.
Okay, killing the bugs.
Killing all the harmful stuff. The intense THP process, the heat and pressure, it produces what's certified as a Class A biosolid product.
Class A meaning?
Meaning it's fully sanitized, it's safe for direct land application.
So you can actually use it?
Yes. It transforms what was once, you know, considered potentially hazardous waste into a high-quality organic fertilizer. So not only does that meet increasingly strict health and environmental regulations, which are popping up everywhere,
right,
but it also means this treated waste can be safely returned to the environment as a valuable nutrient source. It directly supports those circular economy principles, reduces the need for chemical fertilizers. It just closes the loop.
So Cambi isn't just selling a piece of machinery here. They're enabling this fundamental shift in waste management, really creating value from, well, from discarded stuff.
That's exactly it.
And they've structured their business, I gather, into two synergistic segments to capitalize on this. Can you tell us about those?
Yeah, their business model is pretty smart. It's designed to create this kind of self-reinforcing loop. They operate through two main segments.
Okay.
The first is the technology segment. You can think of that as their main growth engine.
Right, selling the new THP systems.
Exactly. This part is all about the sale and delivery of those new cutting-edge THP systems. It covers everything from the initial R&D, the sales process, the manufacturing, which they primarily do at their specialized facility in Congleton in the UK.
Okay. UK-based manufacturer.
And then, of course, the meticulous project execution.
Yeah.
This is how they continuously expand their global installed base of equipment, putting more units out there.
Gotcha. And once that installed base is out there, that's where the second segment kicks in, building on that initial sale.
Precisely. The second is the solutions segment. And this part is really designed to monetize that installed base over the long haul. It provides a much more consistent, often high-margin revenue stream.
Okay, so what does that involve?
It offers a whole suite of value-added services to their existing THP clients. Things like recurring maintenance contracts, operational support, helping them run the systems optimally, upgrades, providing essential spare parts.
The long tail of revenue.
Exactly. And this segment also includes Grønnvekst. That's a wholly owned Norwegian subsidiary.
Grønnvekst, green growth.
Something like that, yeah. And what they do is take the biosolids, plus things like garden waste, and recycle them into high-quality, peat-free soil products.
Oh, so closing the loop again, turning waste into useful soil.
Right, directly participating in that circular economy. Though it is worth noting, the company mentioned they're currently refocusing Grønnvekst a bit. moving away from retail soil sales to concentrate more on their bulk industrial-scale soil operations.
Okay, streamlining focus. So the technology segment lands the big initial, maybe lumpy sales to get projects started. And the solutions segment provides that steadier, predictable, recurring revenue once the systems are up and running. It sounds like the solutions part kind of de-risks the business over time then.
That's exactly the synergy they're aiming for. The technology segment secures those large, sometimes complex, one-time contracts. And those wins directly feed into the solution segment's customer base.
Right.
So it steadily builds this foundation of more predictable, higher margin, recurring revenue that just grows and grows as more THP systems get installed globally.
So the growth of solutions is a good sign of long-term health.
Absolutely. The growth and, importantly, the profitability of the solution segment is a really crucial indicator of the long-term health of the whole business and also customer satisfaction. It shows that the technology is sticky, that clients are staying with them.
And they've managed to implement this model on a pretty big scale, haven't they?
Mm-hmm.
Who are their typical customers and how far does Cambi's reach actually extend?
Yeah, their reach is truly global. Their primary customers are really the bedrock of urban infrastructure. We're
right.
talking large municipal water utilities, public authorities in major cities worldwide.
The big players.
The big players, yeah. And their track record is genuinely impressive. They've delivered installations for leading utilities in really iconic cities. Athens, Beijing, Honolulu, London, Washington, D.C.
Wow, those are major centers.
Yeah, these aren't small pilot projects. These are critical infrastructure projects for huge population centers.
So it's a truly global footprint impacting millions and millions of people.
It absolutely is. Cambi currently boasts installations in 28 countries spread across 6 continents.
28 countries.
And the total operational capacity of all those plants is enough to service a population equivalent of over 120 million people.
That's incredible.
Their key established markets are in Europe, especially the UK and Spain, and also North America. But they also have a really strong established presence in some high-growth Asian markets. Think China, South Korea, Singapore.
Okay.
And very significantly, they've recently made a strategic entry into India, which they clearly see as a massive long-term growth opportunity.
Right. We'll probably come back to India later. So, okay, Cambi has the tech. They've got the business model, a big global presence. But none of that matters if the market isn't actually demanding it. So let's zoom out. What are the big forces driving demand for Cambi's solutions?
Yeah, let's connect it to the bigger picture. Cambi operates right in the middle of the broader waste-to-energy WTE and biogas markets.
Okay.
And what's really crucial to grasp here is that these markets, they aren't really subject to the whims of the economy in the same way others might be. They are underpinned by really powerful, long-term, undeniable secular tailwinds, things that aren't going away.
Secular tailwinds, meaning fundamental shifts.
Fundamental shifts, yeah. Non-cyclical drivers.
And these markets, they're not niche, are they? They're pretty substantial. Can you give us a sense of the scale, the growth we're talking about?
Oh, they're definitely substantial. And it's interesting, the market estimates, they do vary a bit depending on which report you read.
Okay. Always the way with market reports.
Always the way. But they all point in the same direction, consistent expansion. So, for example, the global waste-to-energy market, valued around, say, $34.5 billion back in 2023.
$34 billion. Okay.
Projections show that growing to over $50 billion by 2032, that implies a compound annual growth rate, a key AGR, of around 4.5%.
Steady growth.
Steady, solid growth. Some of the reports are even more bullish, suggesting maybe an 8.2% CAGR, taking the market from around $42 billion in 2024 up to over $92 billion by 2034.
Wow, okay, that's quite a range, but the consistent message is definitely strong. Multi-billion dollar growth ahead.
Precisely. And you see similar trends for the global biogas market. One source puts it over $133 billion in 2024, forecasting a rise to over $191 billion by 2032. That's a key AGR of about 4.5%.
Again, solid single digits.
Yeah. Another report projects it growing from maybe $68 billion in 2024 to over $100 billion by 2033, a 4.4% CAGR. So the key takeaway here, despite the variations in the exact numbers, is that all projections point to consistent, healthy single-digit growth. This isn't some boom and bust cyclical market. It's driven by fundamental, often non-discretionary factors that are only getting stronger.
Okay, so that's what the market's growing. Now, what are those fundamental factors, the why, behind this consistent, non-cyclical demand? Why do cities need solutions like Cambi's?
This is the really important question, I think. And the answer lies in several really critical market drivers that are essentially mandating the demand for their kind of technology.
Mandating, as in they don't have a choice.
In many cases, increasingly, yes. The most critical driver, by far, is the regulatory environment.
Ah, regulations. Okay.
Governments all around the world are implementing legally binding regulations. These are forcing cities, municipalities to upgrade their waste treatment infrastructure.
Can you give some examples?
Sure. Think about the EU's Circular Economy Action Plan that actively promotes recovering resources from waste. Or think about ambitious renewable energy mandates, like the EU wanting 32% renewable energy by 2030.
Right.
And then there are just increasingly strict limits on how much waste can even go to landfills.
So the old ways are being legislated out of existence, basically.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
And this regulatory framework, it creates this long-term, fairly predictable pipeline of projects for companies like Cambi.
Yeah.
Because the demand isn't optional anymore. It's legally required.
So it's less about just being green. It's about compliance. What else is pushing this market forward?
Another massive driver is just the sheer scale of urbanization and waste generation.
Yeah.
We talked about that huge projected increase in waste, 70% by 2050.
Yeah, that's staggering.
A lot of that is driven by relentless population growth and really rapid urbanization, especially in regions like Asia Pacific.
Right. More people, more cities means way more waste.
Exactly. And this overwhelming surge, it just overloads the existing infrastructure. It forces cities to invest in more efficient, more compact, more environmentally sound solutions, mm-hmm. like THP, which can get more throughput from a smaller footprint.
It's a fundamental problem of scale demanding higher efficiency.
Totally. Then there's this broader global shift towards circular economy principles. This is a really profound change in thinking.
Moving away from just use and toss.
Exactly. Moving away from that old take, make, dispose linear model towards one where waste is fundamentally redefined. It's seen as a valuable resource.
Okay.
And Cambi's technology, it's a direct enabler of that principle. It facilitates recovering both energy, the biogas, and vital nutrients, those class A biosolids from the wastewater stream. It's consciously trying to close that loop, minimize what goes to landfill.
And finally, there's the economic incentive piece, right? Carbon pricing.
Yes, carbon pricing.
Yeah.
This is becoming an increasingly powerful financial lever. Things like carbon taxes, emissions trading schemes. They directly improve the economic viability of biogas projects.
How so?
Well, by putting a financial cost on carbon emissions, they make fossil fuel alternatives more expensive. And crucially, they financially reward the greenhouse gas reductions you get by capturing and using biogas instead of letting methane escape.
Ah, so it makes the investment in biogas tech pay off faster.
Exactly. It stimulates investment in enabling technologies like THP, making them much more attractive from a purely economic standpoint, not just an environmental one.
Okay, so it sounds like an incredibly robust market driven by regulations, population growth, circular economy thinking, and carbon pricing. Really strong tailwinds. But if it's so heavily reliant on regulation and policy, doesn't that introduce its own kind of risk? Couldn't someone argue that relying on political will makes them vulnerable if policies change?
That is a very, very astute observation. And it highlights a critical point of tension in Cambi's market position, which otherwise looks so strong.
Right.
Because while that heavy reliance on regulation provides a strong foundation, gives them long-term demand visibility, it absolutely exposes the industry to what we call policy risk.
Policy risk. Okay.
A sudden shift in government priorities, maybe a relaxation of environmental standards or a change in subsidies.
Yeah.
That could fundamentally alter the economic calculation for Cambi's municipal customers.
Can you give an example?
Yeah, there was a recent proposal, I think, from the U.S. EPA, the Environmental Protection Agency. They were considering removing biogas-generated electricity as a qualifying fuel for certain renewable fuel standard credits.
Ah, okay. That would hurt the economics.
Exactly.
Okay.
Now, that wasn't a direct hit on Cambi's core tech itself, but it shows how quickly the policy landscape can shift and directly impact the economics of the projects that use their tech. Even for something robust like THPs. So, yeah, it's a double-edged sword. Policy creates the market, but policy can also shift the ground underneath it.
That's a really crucial nuance to keep in mind. And how do these drivers, these trends, played out across different parts of the world? Are some markets more, say, mature or receptive to this kind of advanced tech than others?
Oh, definitely. There are clear regional differences. Europe is by far the most mature market.
Right. They've been focused on this stuff for longer.
Exactly. You've got stringent, long-standing environmental regulations, highly advanced waste management infrastructure already in place. Europe's a global leader in both waste energy and biogas.
Yeah.
So consequently, it remains a key, very stable region for Cambi's sales and operations.
Okay. Europe is mature and stable. What about North America? Feels like that market's been picking up steam lately.
North America is definitely a significant and growing market for them. And that growth is strongly supported by things like state-level renewable portfolio standards, RPS mandates.
Where states require a certain amount of renewable energy.
Right. Plus, you're seeing an increasing federal focus, both in the U.S. and Canada, on sustainable infrastructure investment. That provides funding, provides impetus for municipalities to upgrade their facilities. So North America is key in growing.
And then, of course, there's Asia-Pacific, which, just given the scale, feels like a massive opportunity down the road.
Absolutely. The Asia-Pacific region, that represents the largest long-term growth opportunity for Cambi. It's the fastest-growing market overall, driven by just immense infrastructure needs. Think about highly populous, rapidly urbanizing countries like China and India.
The scale is just different.
Totally different. And you have government initiatives specifically aimed at tackling critical sanitation and pollution challenges, like India's National Mission for Clean Ganga. That kind of thing creates substantial, continuous demand for advanced wastewater treatment solutions.
So Europe provides stability, established demand, but Asia offers that huge long-term volume and growth potential.
That's a good summary. Europe for stability, Asia for the big growth story.
Okay, so Cambi's operating in this growing market, driven by these fundamental trends. Let's dig back into Cambi itself. What's their specific competitive edge? What makes their THP tech not just good, but maybe superior? And what really protects them from competitors trying to muscle into this vital niche?
Right, this is where their story gets really compelling, I think. Cambi's competitive strength isn't just about having, you know, a decent piece of technology. It's deeply rooted in how specialized it is, their incredibly long operational history, and crucially, a strategic move they made a couple of years ago that just fundamentally reshaped the market landscape and really solidified their dominance.
Okay, let's start with THP itself. We've heard the benefits: more gas, less sludge, more capacity, kills pathogens. Sounds great, but nothing's perfect, right? Are there any notable limitations or drawbacks to the technology itself?
That's a fair question. And yes, while THP offers this really compelling suite of advantages, it does come with certain, let's say, economic and operational considerations.
Like what?
Well, the process itself is pretty energy intensive. It requires high pressure steam, right?
Ah, okay. So it uses energy to make energy, in a sense?
Kind of, yeah. And consequently, the initial capital investment needed to build a THP system is substantial. It's a big upfront cost.
So maybe not viable for smaller towns or facilities?
Exactly.
Yeah.
That can make it a less attractive option for smaller wastewater treatment plants or municipalities that have really tight budgets.
Yep.
Operationally, the process can also lead to the release of ammonia.
Ammonia, okay.
And that needs to be carefully managed in the downstream anaerobic digestion process, because too much ammonia can actually inhibit the microbial activity, slow down the bugs doing the work.
Right, you need to keep the digester happy.
Got to keep the digester happy. However, for those large-scale municipal projects where the benefits of dramatically increased biogas, the huge reduction in sludge volume, that enhanced capacity, where those things are paramount. These drawbacks are usually outweighed by the overall economic and environmental gains. The math still works out for the big guys.
So it's a high-value, high-performance solution, but really targeted at the right scale of client. Okay. Now, what about their competitive moat? What actually protects Cambi's position in this highly specialized, critical infrastructure niche?
They've built a very, very robust competitive moat. It's based on several factors that kind of interlock. Firstly, their patent portfolio. Since they started back in 92, Cambi has meticulously developed and continuously updated a really strong portfolio of patents covering their core innovations. That gives them legal protection.
Standard tech company protection. Makes sense.
Yep. Secondly, and this is absolutely crucial, especially in the very conservative municipal infrastructure sector, is their proven track record and extensive reference plans.
Ah, the who else is using it factor.
Exactly. With over 90 successful installations globally now, that serves as an incredibly powerful marketing tool. And it's a significant barrier to entry for any potential new competitors.
Yeah, I can imagine. No city manager wants to be the first to try some unproven, complex waste system, right?
Absolutely not. Public works projects are notoriously risk averse. So Cambi's long list of successful projects in big important cities provides immense credibility. It de-risks the decision for potential clients.
Okay, patents, proven success. What else?
Thirdly, they possess just immense operational know-how. Think about it. Over 30 years of accumulated operational data, real-world practical experience that provides this intangible but critically important advantage.
Experience counts.
Hugely. In process optimization, in real-world troubleshooting when things inevitably go wrong, in designing systems for maximum efficiency and reliability based on what they've actually seen work, this deep institutional knowledge. It's incredibly difficult for any new player to just replicate overnight. They know what works, what doesn't, how to fine-tune it, and that builds enormous trust with clients.
So patents, a long list of success stories, and decades of hard-won experience. That does sound formidable, but right. Didn't you mention a specific strategic move they made recently? Something that fundamentally altered the competitive landscape, maybe even solidified a near monopoly for them? I think you mentioned an acquisition.
Yes. This is where it gets really interesting. This move truly transformed their competitive position. A pivotal strategic event happened back in May 2022.
Okay, what was it?
Cambi acquired the competing THP technology, specifically the systems known as Exelys and Biothelysis from Veolia.
Veolia, the huge global environmental services giant.
That's the one.
Wait, so Cambi bought their main competitor's actual THP technology and IP? That's not just a big deal. That sounds like a complete game changer.
It was absolutely transformative, no question. Before this acquisition, Veolia's Exelys system, which used a slightly different approach, a continuous flow THP process, whereas Cambi's original system was more batch process.
Okay, different technical approaches.
Right. But Veolia's system was the primary direct competitor to Cambi's established system. So this acquisition did two critical things at once.
What were they?
One, it effectively eliminated the main source of direct competition and probably significant price pressure in this very specialized THP niche. Poof, main rival gone.
Okay, huge. And two?
Two, it consolidated both major THP process designs, Cambi's batch method, and Veolia's continuous method under Cambi's single control.
Whoa. So now they're not just selling their preferred solution. They can offer the leading solution for pretty much any THP application, regardless of whether batch or continuous is better suited.
Precisely. It allows Cambi to genuinely offer a technology-agnostic solution. They can tailor it exactly to a customer's specific needs and site constraints without really facing direct competition within the THP technology space itself.
That completely neutralizes a key differentiator for any potential new entrant, doesn't it? How can you compete if they own both main approaches?
It makes it incredible. Yeah, if you zoom out to the broader landscape, you definitely find major diversified environmental services firms. The big ones are Veolia, who we just mentioned, and Suez.
Right, the global giants.
Exactly. These companies are enormous, offering comprehensive suites of solutions across water, waste, energy, including their own advanced anaerobic digestion technologies and other treatment processes.
So how do they interact with Cambi? Are they customers or competitors?
That's the interesting part. They can be both.
Mm-hmm.
On certain large projects, Veolia or Suez might actually be customers for Cambi's specialized THP technology if they need that specific pre-treatment capability to meet performance specs.
Ah, okay. So Cambi becomes a supplier to them sometimes.
Right. But on other projects, they can also be potential competitors, offering their own integrated sludge treatment solutions as part of a much larger project package. So it's a complex relationship, sometimes partners, sometimes rivals.
Gotcha. What about other big water technology companies? Anyone else that might touch Cambi's space?
Well, there's Xylem, another major player in the water technology world.
Right. Xylem's huge in pumps and treatment.
Huge. They offer a really broad range of wastewater treatment products and equipment. But generally speaking, they appear less focused on Cambi's very specific niche that advanced sludge pre-treatment using thermal hydrolysis. They're broader.
Okay. And does THP itself have competitors, like other ways to pre-treat sludge?
Yes. THP does compete conceptually with other less common sludge pre-treatment methods. Things like wet oxidation or mechanical disintegration methods. But generally, if you look at the industry data and certainly Cambi's market share, it strongly suggests THP offers superior performance, especially for biogas enhancement and overall efficiency, particularly in large-scale municipal operations. It seems to be the preferred high-performance method.
Okay, so Cambi has this leading proprietary tech, a smart dual business model feeding itself, strong market tailwinds pushing demand, and now, thanks to that Veolia deal, a dominant, near monopolistic competitive position in its core niche. It sounds like an incredibly powerful story.
It is on many levels.
But as we hinted right at the top, their financials can be, well, a bit of a roller coaster. Let's navigate the numbers now. Let's talk about their financial performance and that notorious lumpiness. Because this is exactly where those bullish and bearish arguments often really diverge, right?
Indeed, and you absolutely see it in the numbers. Their financial results truly reflect the inherent characteristics of being a project-based technology business,
Meaning.
meaning it's marked by significant year-to-year volatility, that lumpiness in both revenue and profitability. And it's tied directly, inextricably, to the timing of when they win large contracts and the staggered execution schedules of those complex multi-year projects.
So 1 year can look amazing, the next less so, just based on project phasing.
Exactly. The key insight here, and it's critical for understanding Cambi, is that single-year financial results are essentially just a snapshot of which projects happened to finish or hit major milestones that year. They are not a reliable indicator of the company's underlying strength or momentum.
So looking at just 1 year is misleading.
Highly misleading. You must look at the longer-term trend. And even more importantly, you need to focus heavily on their order backlog. That's your best crystal ball for future performance.
Backlog. Okay, so looking at the actual numbers from the past few years, just how lumpy are we talking? Give us a snapshot.
Okay, let's look at revenue. In 2021, it was around NOK 458 million. In 2022, pretty flat, actually dipped slightly to NOK 440 million.
Okay, flat to slightly down.
Then boom. In 2023, it more than doubled, soaring to NOK 977 million. And it kept climbing in 2024, reaching over NOK 1 billion, NOK 1,033 million.
Wow. Okay. From 440 million to over a billion in 2 years. That's lumpy.
That's lumpy. And this dramatic swing in the top line, it flows directly down to the bottom line too. Take their EBITDA margin, for instance. It fluctuated wildly from a low of just 0.6% in that flat 2022.
Practically zero margin.
Practically zero, toward of over 25% in that booming 2023.
Huge swing in profitability.
It's a huge swing. So this pattern just clearly demonstrates why single-year results are not reliable indicators. A strong year might just mean a couple of big projects finished and got paid. A weaker year might mean projects are in full swing, but the big payments haven't hit the books yet.
Right. It's all about the pipeline, how it fills up, and how it gets drawn down. So, what are the key leading indicators we should be watching for Cambi then to get a better sense of their future trajectory, if not last year's results?
For a project-based business like Cambi, there are two absolutely critical metrics: order intake and order backlog. Order intake is the flow of new contracts being signed. That's the fuel.
Okay.
And the order backlog is the total value of those signed contracts that they haven't yet delivered or recognized as revenue. That represents the company's confirmed future revenue visibility.
Got it. Intake fills the tank. Backlog is how much fuel is in the tank.
Perfect analogy. And the story here, looking back, is quite clear. The backlog grew dramatically. It went from NOK 460 million at the end of 2021.
Okay, less than 1 year's revenue back then.
Right. To a peak of NOK 1,542 million, over 1.5 billion at the end of 2023.
Wow, that's a massive increase in the backlog. Over a triple in 2 years.
Massive increase.
Yeah.
And that was fueled by a period of really record order intake. They were winning a lot of business. And that strong multi-year backlog they built up, that is precisely what powered those record revenues we just talked about in 2023 and 2024. They were executing on that huge pile of orders.
Okay, that sounds incredibly strong. Definitely supports the bullish argument, proof of demand, future visibility.
Yeah.
But what's the recent trend been with that backlog? Has it continued to grow at that pace?
Ah, and this is where the lumpiness comes back into play, and where the more bearish or cautious arguments often point. While they had that period of record intake, order intake moderated significantly in 2024.
Moderated meaning?
Slowed down.
Slowed down, yeah. It came in at NOK 724 million for 2024. Still a decent number, but a notable decrease from the record highs of the previous year or two.
Yeah. And naturally, as they executed on the existing large backlog, this lower intake led to a decline in the year-end 2024 backlog. It came down to NOK 1,232 million. Still very healthy. Over a billion.
Still more than a year's revenue, roughly.
Right, but down from that peak of over 1.5 billion a year earlier.
And looking even more recently, say into 2025.
The trend continued. As of the end of Q2 2025, the backlog had declined further sequentially, reaching NOK 938 million.
Okay, below a billion now.
Below a billion, which is down quite a bit from the NOK 1,484 million. It was just a year prior, at the end of Q2 2024.
So the backlog is definitely shrinking from its peak, but it's crucial to understand why, isn't it? Is it because they're suddenly not getting any new orders? Or is it simply because they're actually delivering the projects from that huge pipeline they built up and the new orders aren't quite matching that peak execution rate?
It's definitely more the latter. They're still winning orders, but the pace of winning large new deals hasn't quite kept up with the pace at which they're working through that massive backlog built in 22 and 23.
Right.
The current backlog, even at NOK 938 million, still provides pretty good revenue visibility through the rest of 2025 and well into 2026.
Okay, so there's still work lined up.
Plenty of work lined up. However, management has been quite transparent about this. They've communicated that this lower recent order intake rate suggests there's a potential dip in revenue coming in 2026.
Ah, okay, so they're guiding for a potential slowdown after the boom.
Potentially, yeah. But it's really vital to frame this correctly. This isn't necessarily them saying there's a fundamental problem with the business or they're losing market share. It's more likely a predictable phase in their project-based business cycle.
The cycle of winning big deals, executing, then needing to win the next wave of big deals.
Exactly. The company needs to continuously secure new large contracts to refill that pipeline. And those big awards, they often come in bursts, not a smooth stream. That naturally leads to these fluctuations in backlog and eventually revenue.
Okay, that context is important. And what does their very recent financial performance, say the first half of 2025, actually look like against this backdrop of a declining backlog but still executing projects?
Yeah, the first half of 2025 presented a bit of a mixed financial picture. It showed both progress but also some persistent margin pressures.
Okay.
In Q1 2025, revenue showed modest growth year over year, about 4.2% to NOK 225 million. So still growing the top line.
But
EBITDA declined sharply. It came in at only NOK 14 million, which was way down from NOK 36 million in Q1 of the previous year.
Ouch. So revenue up slightly, but profits way down. Why?
Management explicitly attributed this profitability pressure to two main things. One, negative foreign exchange effects on the Norwegian krone got stronger against other currencies where they earn revenue, which hurts reported profits.
Okay, currency headwinds.
And two, crucially, deliberate investments they were making to expand organizational capabilities for future growth. Things like hiring key engineering talent, building out teams, costs that hit the P&L now but are aimed at future wins.
So investing for the future, but that hit their margins in the short term.
Okay, and what about Q2? Did that trend continue or did things improve?
Q2 2025 showed a significant sequential recovery, at least on the top line. The company posted record quarterly revenue of NOK 342 million.
Record revenue. Okay, that's strong.
Very strong execution in the quarter. However, despite that top line strength, EBITDA still declined year over year, down about 8.5% to NOK 75 million.
So better than Q1's profit drop, but still down year on year, even with record revenue.
Exactly. It shows that those margin pressures they saw in Q1 were indeed persisting, maybe just to a lesser degree. And as we noted earlier, the key point of maybe concern for investors is that the order backlog continued its decline during Q2. So while they're executing really well right now, the pressure is definitely on to secure those new large deals to replenish the future pipeline. Right. This all really reinforces that whole idea of lumpiness, especially in the technology segment selling the big systems. But what about the other part, the solutions segment, that recurring revenue stream? Is that growing? Is it helping to smooth out these fluctuations over time?
It absolutely is. And that solutions segment is a really critical component of the bullish long-term thesis for Cambi. It is providing a growing base of more stable, predictable, recurring revenue.
How significant is it becoming?
Well, in Q4 of 2024, for instance, that solution segment actually accounted for nearly half of the total quarterly order intake.
Half. Wow. So it's not just an afterthought anymore.
Not at all. It highlights its increasing contribution to the overall financial stability and predictability of the company.
Mm.
Now, on the operational side, it is worth noting that the business overall, especially when the technology segment is busy, is pretty working capital intensive.
Meaning they need cash to fund projects before they get paid?
Yeah. Cash flow can be highly dependent on the specific timing of milestone payments from customers. And that can sometimes lead to significant negative operating cash flow in quarters where they have a lot of project activity going on, buying materials, paying engineers, but maybe haven't hit the next payment trigger from the client yet.
Okay, so cash flow can be lumpy too.
Very much so. However, and this is a crucial strength, Cambi has a very strong, virtually debt-free balance sheet.
Ah, low debt. That helps.
Massively. It's a crucial asset. It provides them with the necessary liquidity buffer to comfortably manage these working capital swings and to make those strategic investments we talked about without being under pressure from external financing or high interest payments. Mm. That financial flexibility is key for a business like this.
That debt-free balance sheet really is a big advantage for a company with such a volatile revenue stream. Gives them real flexibility and staying power.
Okay. So with all these dynamics at play, the tech, the market, the lumpiness, the balance sheet, what's Cambi's strategic vision for growth moving forward? How do they plan to sustain and hopefully grow their leadership position?
Yeah, their growth strategy has definitely evolved. It's moved beyond just relying purely on organic, technology-led sales of new THP systems. It's now a more sophisticated, kind of multifaceted approach.
Okay. What are the facets?
It strategically combines geographic expansion into new key markets, potentially targeted mergers and acquisitions, and a very deliberate focus on cultivating and growing that high-margin recurring revenue base from the solution segment.
Okay, let's break those down. Geographic expansion first.
Yeah.
Which new markets are they really identifying and targeting for future growth? Where's the next big opportunity?
Expanding their global footprint is clearly a primary pillar. And they very explicitly identified India as a key emerging market with just immense long-term potential. India. Why India specifically?
Well, you've got India's massive population, obviously. Rapid urbanization happening there, too. And a really strong government focus now on improving sanitation and environmental infrastructure. Think about initiatives like the National Mission for Clean Ganga.
Right, cleaning up the major rivers. Huge undertaking.
Huge. So securing their very first THP project win in Mumbai, which happened in early 2025, was seen as a critical strategic milestone. It signals their successful entry into this potentially massive market.
A foot in the door.
A foot in the door. Now, management is realistic. They acknowledge it's going to be a complex, long-term journey. India is not an easy market. It requires sustained presence, navigating local complexities. But it's a huge step towards tapping into that immense potential demand.
Okay, India is the big long-term bet. What about closer to home, maybe in Europe? Any specific moves there to solidify their position?
Yes, definitely. The recent acquisition, this was in Q2 2025, of a 51% controlling stake in a German company called CNP Cicl GmbH.
Yeah.
That signals a very clear strategic intent.
CNP Cicl U, what do they do?
They're involved in nutrient recovery and sludge optimization, complementary areas. But the key here isn't necessarily acquiring revolutionary new tech. It seems to be much more about gaining a strategic foothold, getting local expertise, and accessing critical customer relationships within the German market.
Ah, market access into Germany. Why is Germany so important?
Germany is a key European region, obviously a large economy, but also has really significant planned infrastructure investment coming up. There's this massive $500 billion fund with substantial chunks allocated specifically for climate and energy projects, which includes waste and water infrastructure.
Okay, so buying CNP gives them a direct pathway into that German investment wave.
That seems to be the logic. It provides market access, local credibility. And beyond those specific country moves, they're broadly just increasing their sales and marketing efforts globally, onboarding new agents, hiring regional managers in selected priority markets, just making sure their THP solutions are top of mind and considered for all the major municipal sludge treatment projects happening worldwide.
So it's about expanding geographically, getting feet on the ground, but also about refining their approach to the technology itself, the services, and even using acquisitions as a tool, like with CMP.
Exactly. On the tech front, they're committed to continuous innovation. It's maybe less about brand new breakthrough products right now and more about incremental improvements, developing new system configurations, refining their core THP solutions just to maintain that undisputed leadership edge. Making it more efficient, more reliable, easier to operate.
Okay. And you mentioned the solutions segment again, growing that recurring revenue.
Yes, that is a core strategic priority. Significantly growing the high-margin recurring revenue from the solutions segment. And this isn't just passive income from old sales. It involves proactively supporting their growing installed base, offering value-adding services, performance-enhancing upgrades, even planning ahead for end-of-life system replacements to keep clients in the Cambi ecosystem.
Locking in that long-term relationship.
Exactly. They recently announced a new long-term service agreement in Denmark, for example, which really exemplifies this focus. Locking in predictable, high-margin revenue for years to come.
Are they looking at applying their THP tech beyond just municipal sewage? Maybe industrial clients? Agriculture?
Yes, definitely exploring adjacent markets.
Yeah.
While municipal wastewater is still the core, Cambi is actively pursuing opportunities in treating industrial sludge. They've already secured some contracts there. They clearly view this as a significant growth area where their technology can solve complex, high-strength waste challenges for various industries, food processing, pharma, chemicals, potentially.
Okay, industrial is a target. What about agriculture? Lots of organic waste there, too.
Agriculture seems to be at an earlier, more exploratory stage for them. But it shows they are willing to broaden the scope beyond municipalities. And consistent with that CNP-CYCLES acquisition in Germany, they've clearly stated their intent to actively explore further strategic acquisitions, looking for complementary businesses or technologies that could enhance their offerings or accelerate their market access in key areas.
So M&A is definitely part of the playbook now.
Seems to be, yes.
And didn't this strategic vision also involve some internal streamlining, focusing maybe on core competencies, shedding non-core stuff?
It did, yeah. Back in 2023, Cambi took steps to streamline its strategy. One key move was to deprioritize pursuing those really capital-intensive design build, finance operate, DBFO type projects.
Where they'd basically own and run the whole plant.
Right. They seem to be concentrating more on their core strengths, providing the key technology, the specialized solutions, the services, rather than taking on the full financial and operational burden of owning entire infrastructure projects. Less capital intensive focuses on their tech edge.
Makes sense. Play to your strengths.
And in line with that focus on core profitability, they also mentioned they are exiting the retail soil business within that Grenvec subsidiary we talked about.
Oh, getting out of selling bags of soil at garden centers?
Pretty much. They're concentrating on the more stable, large volume, bulk soil operations, selling truckloads to landscapers or for remediation projects. It aligns better with their industrial scale focus. It's all about being leaner, more focused on their highest value contributions.
Okay, wow. We have painted a pretty comprehensive picture of Cambi ASA, I think. We've covered their innovative THP technology, their clever dual business segments, their really powerful market drivers creating in demand, their strategic moves like the Veolia deal to expand dominance, and then the complex financial dynamics of that lumpy project-based model.
Mm-hmm. A lot of layers to it.
But every investment, every business, no matter how strong it looks, carries risks. So as we start to bring this full circle, what are the key risk factors, the potential headwinds for Cambi that an investor or anyone watching them really needs to understand and keep in mind?
Yeah, this is a crucial segment. Understanding the risks is just as important as understanding the opportunities, maybe more so sometimes.
Absolutely.
And for Cambi, the project-based revenue concentration remains the most significant risk factor, bar none.
That lumpiness again.
That lumpiness. Their financial performance is just highly dependent on securing and then successfully executing a relatively small number of very large-scale projects each year. This inherently leads to that characteristic lumpy, unpredictable pattern in revenue, profitability, and especially cash flow that we've discussed.
And the declining backlog highlights this.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
The decline in the order backlog from its peak in 2023, while arguably a normal part of their cycle, it vividly illustrates this risk. The company must continuously win new large contracts to sustain its growth trajectory and avoid potentially significant revenue dips down the line. The pressure is always on to land the next big one.
So even with a solid backlog now, the uncertainty around winning the future large contracts is always going to be a key overhang for the stock. Probably.
I think that's fair to say.
And since regulation is such a huge driver for them, I imagine changes in regulation are also a major risk category.
Absolutely. Regulatory changes are a fundamental risk. Cambi's entire business model relies heavily on a supportive regulatory environment, one that mandates or strongly incentivizes advanced waste treatment.
So if that changes...
Any significant change in policy, maybe relaxation of landfill restrictions, a reduction in renewable energy subsidies, or even a government shift in focus towards promoting alternative treatment technologies that could materially impact the demand for Cambi's products.
And are there any specific regulatory issues on the horizon right now?
Well, one area creating some uncertainty across the whole water sector is the growing concern over forever chemicals, like PFAS.
Ah, PFAS. That's everywhere in the news.
It is. Now, long-term, stricter PFAS regulations could actually be a driver for more advanced treatment solutions like THP, potentially. But right now, it mainly creates regulatory uncertainty. How governments ultimately decide to regulate PFAS in wastewater and biosolids could either create significant new demand for Cambi or potentially introduce new costly compliance hurdles for their process. It's something to watch.
Okay, regulatory uncertainty. And these are big, complex, multi-year infrastructure projects they undertake. That must introduce its own set of operational risks, right? Things going wrong during construction or commissioning.
Indeed. There are significant execution risks inherent in any large-scale project. These things are complex. They're subject to risks of delays, cost overruns, unforeseen technical challenges. Stuff happens. And any of those issues can negatively impact the profitability of a specific project and potentially damage the company's reputation if delays are significant.
Have they mentioned any recent execution challenges?
They have, actually. Yeah. Recent financial reports, for instance, noted that some projects were affected by temporary delays due to issues with client-site readiness, basically. Mm-hmm. The customer wasn't ready for Cambi's equipment when planned. That defers revenue recognition.
Fishes revenue out.
Right. And they also acknowledged encountering higher-than-expected complexity in certain upgrade projects they were doing for older PHP systems. They mentioned committing more experienced engineering resources to manage those better going forward. So, yes, successful, on-time, on-budget execution is absolutely paramount. Any slip-ups hurt.
What about broader economic risks? Their clients are mostly municipalities. What happens if there's an economic downturn and city budgets get squeezed?
That's a very relevant risk. Given that their primary customer base is public municipalities and utilities, their projects are inherently subject to municipal budget constraints and shifting political priorities.
So infrastructure spending can get cut in bad times.
Exactly. Economic downturns or even just shifts in government spending priorities could lead to the delay or even cancellation of planned infrastructure investments, regardless of the long-term environmental benefits or needs. Public funding can be fickle.
Okay. What else?
And they also face significant foreign exchange exposure. Currency risk.
Ah, right. They sell globally but are based in Norway, manufacture in the UK.
Precisely. The company has this notable mismatch in the currencies of its revenues versus its costs. A substantial portion of revenue comes in foreign currencies like euros and US dollars. But a large chunk of their costs, especially manufacturing and personnel, are in Norwegian krone and British pounds.
So if the krone or pound strengthens,
fluctuations in those exchange rates can have a material impact on their reported revenues and especially their profit margins when translated back into krone. And they explicitly cited FX headwinds as a factor hurting profitability in their Q1 2025 results. So it's a real tangible risk.
Okay, currency risk. And looking longer term, is there a risk that their core THP technology itself could become obsolete? Could something better come along?
That's always a long-term risk for any technology company, isn't it? Especially one as specialized as Cambi. While they are the clear market leader in THP today and hold that strong patent portfolio in the Veolia tech, they still face the long-term risk that some new, perhaps more cost-effective, or significantly more efficient waste treatment technology could emerge someday and disrupt their market position. Technology obsolescence is always out there.
True. And finally, for a company built on specialized engineering, people must be critical.
Absolutely. As a provider of highly specialized engineering tech and services, their ability to attract and crucially retain key technical staff, project managers, it's absolutely critical. Maintaining their competitive edge, ensuring successful project execution, it all depends on having the right expertise in-house. So talent retention is always going to be a key operational concern for a specialized firm like Cambi. Losing key people would hurt.
Okay, that's a pretty comprehensive list of risks. Project concentration, regulation, execution, budgets, FX, tech obsolescence, talent. Beyond those financial and strategic risks, what about just practical operational considerations? Things that factor into how they run the business day to day?
Well, one operational aspect worth noting is their supply chain. It's quite concentrated.
How so?
They operate a highly centralized manufacturing model. They produce their core THP systems primarily at that single specialized facility in Congleton, UK.
Right. You mentioned that earlier.
Now, on the one hand, that ensures strict quality control, deep specialized expertise is all in one place.
Yeah.
But it also creates dependencies on that single facility. And it potentially exposes the company to supply chain disruptions or even international trade barriers impacting that UK base.
Any examples of that?
Yeah, they actually mentioned that the recent implementation of a 10% US-UK tariff on certain goods prompted them to start evaluating local manufacturing options in key markets, like the US, as a potential long-term risk mitigation strategy. Relying solely on the UK plant has risks.
Okay, diversifying manufacturing might be on the table. Anything else, operationally?
There's also some inherent seasonality in the business, but it's primarily within that Grenvext subsidiary, the soil business.
Ah, people buy less soil in winter.
Exactly. The soil business typically experiences lower activity during the winter months. So that tends to impact the solution segment's results slightly in Q1 and Q4 each year. It's a minor factor overall, but just something to be aware of operationally.
Okay. So we've covered the business, the market, the strategy, the risks. What does this all mean when we get to the thorny question of valuation? How do you even begin to value a company like Cambi with such lumpy financials, these distinct business segments, this mix of high growth and high volatility? It really sounds like traditional valuation metrics might not tell the whole story here.
You've hit on a really critical point. And this is where standard valuation metrics that many investors rely on, especially those based on trailing 12 months, or TTM, results like TTM PE or TTM EBITDA, become significantly less useful for Cambi.
Because the trailing numbers are so volatile.
Exactly. Because of that inherent volatility we've hammered home. For a project-based company like this, the single most critical component for valuation isn't really last quarter's revenue or last year's earnings. It's the size, the quality, and the expected profit margin of its order backlog.
The backlog, again, it really is paramount.
It's paramount because it provides the most tangible, forward-looking visibility into the company's future earnings potential. Kind of like valuing a construction company. You look at the value of the contracts they've signed to build, not just the revenue from the buildings they finished last month.
That makes sense. Focus on the future pipeline. But just for context, what are their current trading multiples and how do they compare to maybe peers or even their own historical averages? Where does the market seem to be pricing them now?
Okay, so as of roughly August 2025, Cambi was trading at an enterprise value to sales ratio, EV sales, of approximately 3.2 times.
Okay, 3.2 times sales.
Its EV to EBITDA ratio was around 16.6 times, and its price earnings, or PE ratio, was sitting around 26 times.
How do those stack up? Are they high, low, average?
Well, the PE of 26x is, you know, moderately high, suggests expectations for future growth. Interestingly, the EV sales and EBITDA multiples are currently elevated compared to Cambi's own three-year median levels. Their median EV sales over the last 3 years was closer to 2.1x.
So trading above its recent historical average.
Right. Which suggests the market is currently pricing in continued growth and profitability, likely reflecting that very strong performance they delivered in 2023 and 2024. But perhaps it's also starting to reflect some caution about the lower recent order intake and the potential 2026 dip. Multiples are off their absolute peaks, maybe.
And how do they stack up against those big, diversified players like Veolia or other waste companies in general?
Compared to the large, diversified environmental service giants like Veolia or Suez, Cambi trades at a significant premium on both EV sales and EBITDA multiples.
A premium?
Well, that premium really reflects Cambi's status as a high-growth, pure-play technology leader operating in this very specialized, high-demand niche with dominant market share. In contrast, those larger peers often have more mature, slower-growing, lower-margin business lines mixed in, which tends to pull down their aggregate valuation multiples. Cambi is seen as more of a focused growth play.
Okay. And compared to maybe other waste or water tech firms?
If you compare them to some North American waste and water technology firms, like GFL Environmental or Casella Waste Systems, Cambi's EV sales multiple is actually in a reasonably similar range. Its EBITDA multiple, however, tends to be a bit more moderate compared to some of those, suggesting maybe a different profitability profile or margin structure. Peer comparison is always tricky, especially with Cambi's unique model.
It really sounds like there's a conceptual way analysts might try to value Cambi, almost by splitting the company in two, given that dual business model you described. Can you elaborate on that sort of sum of the parts idea?
Precisely. That's a very common conceptual approach for analysts trying to get a better handle on Cambi's intrinsic value. You'd consider a sum of the parts, or SOTP analysis.
What would that work?
You'd hypothetically value the recurring high-margin revenue stream coming from the solution segment separately. This part of the business, with its predictable service contracts, its growing base, you could argue it deserves a higher, more stable valuation multiple, almost like a software as a service company or a pure play service business, given its consistency.
Okay, value the stable part, like a stable business.
Right. Meanwhile, the more volatile project-based technology segment, the part selling the big systems, that would warrant a lower, perhaps more cyclical industrial type multiple, one that reflects its inherent lumpiness, its dependence on winning those large one-off contracts.
Value the lumpy part like a lumpy business.
Exactly. Then you'd add the two implied values together, maybe adjust for corporate costs or the balance sheet, to get a total estimated value for Cambi that reflects its hybrid nature.
So the central tension in Cambi's valuation really comes down to that trade-off, doesn't it? The premium you might pay for its market dominance, its alignment with green trends, its growth potential, versus the discount you might demand because of the earnings volatility and the project concentration risk.
That sums it up perfectly. It's a fundamental balance, a constant tension between potential versus predictability. And where an investor comes down on that balance really drives their view on the stock's fair value.
And finally, just a quick word on their listing itself. They're listed on the Oslo Børs in Norway, specifically on the Euronext Growth Market. What does it practically mean for investors, especially international ones?
Right. So Euronext Growth Oslo, it's a marketplace specifically designed for small and medium-sized growth companies. It operates under a slightly less extensive, maybe less burdensome regulatory framework compared to the main Oslo Børs exchange.
Okay. Does that impact trading?
Potentially, yes. As a smaller capitalization stock listed on this growth market, CMBI can, and often does, experience lower trading liquidity compared to larger stocks on main exchanges. Looking at recent data, its average 20-day trading volume was around 60,000 shares.
60,000 shares a day. Not tiny, but not huge either.
Right. And lower liquidity can sometimes result in wider bid-ask spreads, the difference between buying and selling prices, and potentially higher day-to-day price volatility compared to more heavily traded stocks. It's just a practical consideration for investors looking to actively trade the stock. Might be harder to get large orders filled quickly without moving the price.
And the investor base in Norway.
Yeah.
It's often known for its strong focus on ESG factors, sustainability, right? Could that be a factor for Brand Cambi?
Yes, absolutely. The Norwegian institutional investor landscape, including the absolutely massive government pension fund, Global, the sovereign wealth fund.
The oil fund, yeah.
Has a very strong and growing focus on environmental, social, and governance, or ESG criteria. They actively seek out sustainable investments. So this could certainly be a positive long-term factor for a pure-play clean tech company like Cambi, potentially attracting a dedicated long-term investor base that values its mission.
But is there a flip side to that?
There can be. Investors should also be aware that major Norwegian institutions have, historically, demonstrated a willingness to divest from companies or even entire regions based on non-financial criteria, ethical concerns, political considerations. This can sometimes introduce an additional layer of potential idiosyncratic risk for certain companies listed there, depending on their operations or controversies that might arise.
Okay. And of course, for any international investor buying a stock listed in Norway, there's currency exposure.
Absolutely. Critical point. For international investors, Cambi presents two distinct layers of currency risk.
Too late.
Yep. First, the value of your investment in CMB shares, when you translate it back into your home currency, say, U.S. dollars or euros, will fluctuate directly with the Norwegian krone, an okay exchange rate. If the krone weakens, your investment is worth less in your currency, even if the share price in NOK stays the same.
Standard FX risk for international stocks, what's the second layer?
The second layer is the company's own operational currency exposure that we touched on earlier. That mismatch between revenues coming in mostly in foreign currencies, like EUR and USD, and a large chunk of costs being incurred primarily in NOK and British pounds. Fluctuations in those exchange rates directly impact Cambi's reported revenues, and more importantly, their profit margins, before you even think about your own investment currency.
Right, like the hit they took in Q1 25.
Exactly like that. So international investors get hit twice, potentially, once by the company's operational exposure impacting its results, and again by the NOK fluctuating against their home currency. It adds complexity.
Definitely something to factor in. And lastly, for those wanting to dig even deeper, is there much analyst coverage on Cambi?
They do have coverage. As of recently, there was coverage from at least two prominent Nordic brokerage houses, DNB and Pareto Securities.
Mm-hmm.
So investors looking for more detailed financial modeling and institutional research do have some resources available from those analysts.
What a deep dive indeed. We have really journeyed through the world of Cambi ASA today, from its frankly innovative thermal hydrolysis process technology and that clever synergistic dual business model,
mm-hmm.
to the powerful, almost inescapable market drivers that are creating persistent demand for what they do. Then we looked at their strategic maneuvers, especially that Veolia acquisition consolidating their market dominance. And then we wrestled with the complex financial dynamics of their project-based model, the lumpiness, and of course, all the inherent risks and valuation nuances that come with it.
It's a really compelling case study, isn't it? Because it encapsulates so much about the clean tech sector right now. The core tension for any investor looking at Cambi, or really anyone just watching the sustainable infrastructure space, is constantly weighing Cambi's incredible long-term strategic positioning.
Right, the market leader, near monopoly, addressing fundamental needs.
Exactly, weighing that against the very real, tangible, near-term financial volatility and the operational risks that just come baked into a project-based revenue stream like theirs. It's this fascinating, ongoing balance between undeniable long-term potential, and the practical need for careful management of predictability and risk.
It truly is. So maybe the final thought to leave our listeners with, as the world really grapples with this tidal wave of increasing waste and the incredibly urgent need for decarbonization, Cambi's journey offers this unique lens, and it really begs the question, doesn't it? How will this delicate balance, the balance between groundbreaking technological innovation on one side and the often unpredictable financial realities on the other, how will that shape the future? Not just for Cambi, but for all these specialized clean tech companies trying to build our sustainable infrastructure. And what does their specific story tell us about the broader landscape of sustainable infrastructure investment itself?
It's a great question. No easy answers, but certainly something worth pondering long after our deep dive ends today.